he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday Taper Tantrum show. Although it's pretty mild right now. Gee, the Dow's about ready to go positive here. But we did have a little taper tantrum to end the day yesterday. We'll talk about that today. And we're following through a little bit, although the futures were way down, and we've come back a long ways. Right now the Dow's down 25. We're back below 35,000 just by a little bit. I think we're probably at the support level here now. We're at 34,933. The S&P is down 1 to 43.98. Its support level is 4,400. Give or take a few percentage points. Come on, you're not going to land right on the exact level, but somewhere in that neighborhood. The NASDAQ's down 30, and I think its support level's right around where it is now here, 14,494. The small cap's down 0.75% right now. Crude oil has really taken it on the chin here recently. I had one crude oil stock left that I was hanging on to just in case, and I finally dumped it yesterday. I'm glad I did. Crude oil is down $1.72 today, $63.74. That's an inventory rise. You know, they did increase the spigot just a little bit at OPEC here a few months ago, and maybe that's part of it. Gold is down, it's up $1.30, but it just hangs around 1800. I mean, it doesn't get too far from that neighborhood. Silver's down 11 cents, 23.32. The 10-year is surprisingly quiet. It's a combination of things. The interest rates should be going up because, you know, they're going to start tapering back on their buying of bonds in the future, not right away. But there's also a flight to safety in bonds, so we're at 1.25%. And good old Bitcoin, down $85 to $45,231. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. I think this could be a real interesting day, to be honest with you. It was an interesting day yesterday in the market. We all awaited, not exactly Fed speak, it's really the minutes that are released from their meeting and what went on. And they saw something in there that they've been waiting to see, and that's taper. The Fed was talking about when to taper. What does taper mean? That means that all of this massive buying of assets, mostly bonds, including, you know, even corporate bonds, a lot of U.S. Treasuries, obviously, to artificially keep rates low, they're going to start tapering back on the purchase of those bonds. All right. Okay. So, you know, is that the worst thing in the world here? They're talking about it. But we know that eventually they're going to start doing that. Does that do anything to earnings of the S&P 500? No. What's the most important indicator of the S&P 500? Earnings. And, of course, interest rates do have an impact. Interest rates impact the multiple. The two components of that formula for an S&P target price are earnings on the left, a multiple in the middle, and a target price on the right. Okay, the earnings equation got better during this last quarter of earnings. That's the earnings equation for future earnings. The multiple has stayed the same because interest rates have been tame. But if interest rates were to start rising again, like they did earlier this year, then we could rein in that multiple a little bit. But that has not happened yet. We're on top of this every single day, and I report to you. Now, yesterday, the market was very sanguine, very quiet, just like a river, just, you know, very quiet, peaceful, while we awaited the release of those minutes. And then, of course, the release came. They immediately started reading through the minutes. And in one of those minutes, I don't know how many minutes of minutes there were, but in one of those minutes there was something they didn't like, and they've been watching for it, and it's a red flag. Taper talk. And we saw a pretty healthy sell-off in the market in the last hour or two of the day. So you had a very, 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 very quiet market as, you know, the waited the news. The news came out. It was kind of what they expected. And you saw an immediate taper tantrum. I was in Walmart one day. I needed some sinkers, some lead. You got to have a little lead. Get the lead out. You got to hit the bottom with those shrimp with your Texas rig. And I was buying some sinkers, some slip sinkers. So the fish don't feel it, you know, it kind of slides through there. And I saw a kid sitting in the middle of the aisle. He would not budge. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. Probably a two-year-old, okay, a boy. Boys normally, you know, they can be a little temperamental. And his mother was giving him a ration, and he was not going to move. He was throwing a tantrum. It was in the toy aisle. So I can imagine what the tantrum was about. And the market throws tantrums from time to time. Yesterday, when the Fed minutes came out, the market sat down. Investors sat down in the middle of the aisle and started screaming, please, please, do not taper, do not taper. Keep gobbling up and buying those bonds. Please, Mr. Fed. Please, Mr. Powell. And you saw that little bit of a taper tantrum. Hey, the NASDAQ's only down 12 right now. It keeps getting better as the day progresses. But I think it's going to be all over the place. I would say another thing about watching the markets, managing money, you got to kind of wait till the market settles a little bit before you really start evaluating individual stocks within the market. That's why I kind of like doing the show during the first hour and a half or hour of trading in the markets. It gives the market a little bit of time to settle, like one of these things you shake up in the snowflakes, you know, and then they settle down. You got to shake it again. Well, the market's shaking every morning when it opens, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time for that, for those snowflakes to settle. Man, I got a lot to talk about. I'm going to have to talk really fast here today. Oh, boy. Jobless claims, 348,000. That's pretty good. It is decreasing. We were at 360. And let's not forget there's help wanted signs everywhere. I can't see any reason anybody would be filing a jobless claim. You know what? Our favorite restaurant in Charleston, one of them, closed for the month of August. They called us. We're going to be closed for the month of August because we can't find enough help. When is the last time you heard that? Crude slumps to weakest level since May as gasoline build surprises. Well, what happened? You know, I thought we were all going on vacations, and August is a slow month. You know, it really is. It's hard. Everybody's off doing their thing, vacations and whatnot. But I guess we're not using a lot of gas, or they miscalculated. WTI, that's West Texas Intermediate Crude, slumps to its weakest level since May as gasoline build surprises. Now, let's go back about 3 months. Coming out of the COVID shutdowns and lockdowns, we were all ready to rock and roll, man. We all got in our cars. We got on airplanes. We got in our boats, whatever it was, our jet skis. And we saw crude oil prices rise dramatically. And the energy patch, which is very hit or miss, it's not a consistent grower. It's a commodity. And it's very much up or down over the years. And it's under heavy pressure, the Exxons, the Chevrons of the world, from climate change issues, etc., and the move to, you know, gas emission, cutting emissions, and the move to electric vehicles. But the oil stocks had a pretty good run. But it didn't last very long. Here's what happens. Here's the cycle. All of a sudden, oil stocks rise, and they want to pump more. I mean, oil prices rise. They want to pump more oil because prices are going up. They start pumping more oil, and now there's too much supply. So that supply-demand equation is all, it's like a teeter-totter, rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth. It's a difficult sector to invest in, to be honest with you. I mean, we've had our times when oil went to almost $200 a barrel and whatnot, and those were some of the best stocks in the market. I remember when the Williston Basin opened up in the you know, in the Wyoming area, the Montana, etc., North Dakota, Fargo was boomed down America. And there's fracking and the shale and the U.S. production. That was a boom time. There was a lot of money to be made in the oil stocks. But these days, I'm just here to say that, you know what? Yeah, it's a tough industry to invest in. It's got the wind in its face. And it comes down to supply and demand. And, of course, you've got OPEC that is constantly, you know, tweaking the supply one way or another. So I'm not a fan. I had one oil stock left, and I sold it yesterday. Well, when we come back, cybersecurity to the rescue, we hope, and the Baltic Dry Index. Try booking a Baltic Dry ship right now, okay? You know how much you're going to pay? We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Guess what? The little kid in the middle of the aisle who was throwing the taper tantrum finally got up. The Dow just went positive. It blipped positive. I saw green just a minute ago. Now it's down 12, but the S&P has just gone positive. It's up 3. So the taper tantrum, we'll see. I think the market needs to settle down a little bit. Here today before we really kind of assess where we're at after yesterday's taper talk. Well, T-Mobile, glad I don't have T-Mobile, but look, how many times have a service that we use has it been hacked? I think everybody's got my information by now. T-Mobile shares were relatively unchanged Wednesday in the wake of the company's latest update on a cyber attack. And as you know, I continue to like, for a little part of my portfolio, the software security / cyber attack stocks. The company confirmed, T-Mobile confirmed, that 7.8 million current customers, that's a lot of people with postpaid accounts, had their account information compromised in the data breach. Another 40 million former or prospective customers who had applied for credit had their account information also stolen in the attack. But here's the good news. They didn't get any people's phone numbers, account numbers, PIN codes, passwords, or financial information. The company said it will offer 2 years of free identity protection from McAfee. Well, that might be a good stock to look at. MCFE. Why not? I told you to look at it. Why don't I look at it? MCFE. Let's see how it's doing today. No, not bad, and that's a really nice chart. You know, McAfee was a public company, and then it went private, and now it's public again. And, of course, John McAfee recently committed suicide down in South America somewhere. What a crazy story. But McAfee had a pretty good growth rate here over the last 5 years of 103% per year, 103% per year. And you might want to keep a watch on McAfee, which is budging upwards here today. The Baltic Dry Index surges to an 11-year high. Well, we know there's an ETF, BDRY. But you know what? Look, it's another supply-demand issue. All of a sudden, the demand dries up for the ships. But as opposed to buying one of the individual dry bulk carriers, I think that the ETF is the way to go if you want to play it, BDRY. We were talking a few days yesterday about all this, or maybe yesterday it was, with all the freighters stacking up outside the Los Angeles Harbor. Well, they're having a problem on the other end. The Chinese ports are stacking up because there's not enough ships to go around. The Baltic Dry Index hits its highest level in more than a decade, okay? And, of course, there's a lot of individual stocks that are part of that Baltic Dry Index. The partial shutdown of China's Ningbo port is worsening congestion at other major Chinese ports as ships are being diverted and cargo process is slowed. BDRY in the Best Stocks Now app is currently ranked number 242. It's a best ETF now. In fact, I would say the top two ETFs right now in ranking, this is one, I think that the NASDAQ three times, which, you know, that's a little too hot for me to touch. I think it's one of the top-ranked ETFs. And the other top-ranked ETF will really surprise you. I'm going to get to that story here in a minute. 250 ETFs have launched this year. Wow. There's almost as many. You know, and I've got to keep up on that, adding all of these to the app all the time, including high-profile ETF, Cathie Wood's Space Exploration ETF, and the other one is Buzz, high recognition there with Dave Portnoy, the Barstool Sports founder. But you know what? And ETF assets are soaring. Well, money's leaving mutual funds, number one. Number two, a lot of people have given up on trying to pick individual stocks. The Baltic Dry Index would be an excellent example. And they just buy the ETF instead, which gives them all the stocks in the index. Now, in some cases, I think that's a good way to go. But in other cases, a lot of these ETFs are so widely diversified and have so many stocks in them, I would rather cherry pick myself. Cybersecurity Hack would be a perfect example. That's a good ETF, Hack, Bug, which is also a cybersecurity ETF. But there's some really good stocks within those ETFs, and there's a whole lot of filler and a whole lot of mediocrity in those ETFs. And I'm just of the opinion, I think it's better off, cherry-picking into the individual stocks. Who has risen to a 20% golf ball market share? Well, we used to live very near Callaway Golf in Carlsbad. Callaway has achieved its highest monthly U.S. golf ball share ever in July. I didn't know Callaway was real big in golf balls. Okay, I'm here looking at charts, stock charts all day. I don't have a lot of time to get out on the golf course, even though we got a beautiful golf course here in our neighborhood. And I didn't know that Callaway had achieved such a market share. I thought Titleist pretty much dominated the market. But 20% of the U.S. golf market share now belongs to Callaway. How's Callaway stock doing? You know what? Boy, I'll tell you what. The early 90s? No. Late 90s. Early 2000. I remember making money in Callaway, in Cobra Golf, in the people that made the golf shafts. The people that made the heads, for the titanium heads, that was a par, I think. That was a great run in the golf stocks, and then it all kind of came to Big Bertha at Callaway with the big heads on those drivers. And you had aerospace people in San Diego leaving the aerospace industry because they were cutting back on military spending and going to the golf club manufacturers to help with the aerodynamics of those big Berthas. That's the honest truth. Michael Saylor, he's the CFO, or no, he's the CEO of Mr. MicroStrategy. He's pretty outspoken on Bitcoin. He owns a lot of Bitcoin. It's a publicly traded company. They don't have cash in the bank. They have some, but mostly they have Bitcoin in the bank, which is very unusual for a publicly traded company to be parking their excess cash in Bitcoin. But they're doing it at MSTR. And really, MSTR has become a proxy for Bitcoin. If you don't want to invest in the actual Bitcoin itself, you can invest in MicroStrategy and, to some extent, Tesla. Ebbs and flows with the fortunes of Bitcoin. But Saylor says Bitcoin will be a $100 trillion asset class that everybody needs someday. Where have I heard that before? Well, we got a lot of stocks to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow down 126 right now. Still digesting the news about the Fed's talking. The Fed talking about tapering back their purchases of bonds later this year. Just talking about it. The Nasdaq's down 28 right now. I think the market needs to settle here a little bit before we really get a true evaluation. Then maybe that won't happen until much later today, as it's flailing about within a fairly narrow range right now. You know, I've noticed the auto stocks just look terrible. Do I own one auto stock? Well, not auto manufacturers, no. GM stock looks terrible. Ford, well... They continue to slump as the chip shortage headaches continue. You know, that's another tough industry to invest in because it is so dang cyclical, is the automobile industry. And, you know, last year it was one of the leading sectors to invest in the market because that's where most of the current disruption is taking place. If I were to pick two sectors right now where the most disruption by disruptors are taking place, I would say the automobile sector and the financial sector. Of course, the financial sector, you've got, you know, Bank of America, the old guard, the old school, you know, and the Wells Fargo's of the world. And then you've got Square and you've got PayPal and you've got Coinbase and all of these big disruptors that are really kind of turning the financial sector upside down. And, of course, there's ETFs that cover that. FinTech, they're called. Kathy Woods runs the ARKF, which is FinTech. And you can look inside of that at some of the stocks that meet that criteria of financial technology. But the automobile sector is obviously being disrupted by the electric movement and the autonomous driving movement, and they're all vying for future market share. Right now, Tesla obviously dominates the current market share of electric vehicles, and everybody seemingly is getting in on the act. Ford, GM has plans to go all electric. Volvo has plans of going all electric. Ford has plans of going with a lot of electric models. So we'll continue to watch this. But right now, the chip shortage is holding everybody back. I mean, from Toyota to Honda to Tesla to Ford to GM. And there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight. Maybe, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months or so. How about vegetarian chorizo? Chipotle bypasses. They go around Beyond Meat. They're not going to wait for Beyond Meat to come up with a pea protein chorizo. I like chorizo. There's a chorizo and scrambled egg burrito with a bit of potato in it. Man, it's not good for you, but it is good tasting. Chipotle is introducing a chorizo made with pea protein, water, olive oil, and spices. Doesn't that sound delicious? I'll bet you can't tell it, the difference, you know. The other day we were reading about Domino's Pizza going to put plant-based pepperoni on the pizza. Chipotle not only bypassed partnering with Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods on its plant-based menu item, it took a little shot at the alternative meat upstairs. Now, Chipotle is one of the great stocks of all time. It's still a great stock. If I were going to only own one restaurant stock, and I've owned it in the past. I've made money in it. I do not currently own it because the valuation scares me a little bit. But CMG Chipotle would be the one restaurant stock that I would own. here's what Chipotle CEO said about Beyond Meat and Impossible Meats, chorizo-based, plant-based chorizo products. He says they're too processed for us, and they contain a lot of ingredients that we would never have in our restaurants. Ouch. Oh, boy. They really took a shot at Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, okay. So what's the top-performing ETF this year? Well, when I was growing up, there was a band called Rare Earth. Do you remember Rare Earth? I Just Want to Celebrate, I think, was one of their songs. Well, the Rare Earth ETF is surging. And why does Afghanistan have anything to do with the movement these days? In VanEck, Rare Earth Strategic Metal ETF, REMX. REMX. I'm going to see if it has a ranking yet, because I did add it to my my Best Stocks Now database. REMX. Let's see if we've got a ranking on it. It is currently, it may not have been around. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. It's ranked number 235. Now, this is, it's up against all the stocks, mutual funds, and other ETFs. Overall, it's ranked 235. And within the ETF space, you see how handy this Best Stocks Now app is? In the ETF space, here's the top-ranked ETFs. Technology sector, 2 times. NASDAQ, 3 times. Medical equipment. Yeah, there it is. The Rare Earth ETF is ranked at about number 8 right now. In fact, I got to change something there. But that is one of the top-ranked performing ETFs. What does Afghanistan have to do with it? The Taliban's Afghanistan victory may fuel VanEck's surging rare earth metals ETF. Did you know that Afghanistan is surprisingly rich in rare earth metals? What are some of these rare earth metals? Cobalt, barite, lead, zinc. Let's not forget niobium. You got to have niobium. Afghanistan's rare earth metals, with an estimated $1 to $3 trillion under the ground of each substance. Aside from Afghanistan, China is the world's dominant player in rare earth metals. And of course, in America, if you ever driving on the 15 to Las Vegas, you'll pass. In fact, it's that Mountain Pass. MP is the name of the stock. That's one of our biggest rare earth deposits on the way to Las Vegas, between San Diego, L.A., and Las Vegas. I think Utah also has a big area of rare earth. So REMX is that ETF. Corteva shares. This is a fertilizer stock, but they also make pesticides. That's trouble, okay? California. California is usually at the cutting edge of this. California has banned and told Corteva to stop making chlorpyrifos, okay? And that's hurting Corteva shares. I hope it doesn't get into, I mean, it could. I don't own Corteva. I didn't like the way it was behaving. I sold my Corteva a while back. And you know, you could get into a mess like Roundup, which was owned by the company in St. Louis that Neil Young wrote all the songs about, and makes the seeds, genetically modified seeds, which was bought by Bayer in Germany, and they inherited that mess and all of that liability. I hope that Corteva doesn't get into a mess like that. Baidu. Okay, the state of the bond market right now is still very difficult to find anything over 3.5%. Okay, you get up, if you want to get up into the 5 range on bond yield, you got to get into like small oil drillers here in America, oil and gas exploration companies, other high risk type of stuff. The kind of stuff we buy, the best stocks now, you know, some examples, Broadcom, Netflix, we still own those bonds. You get into that area and you're more in the 3.5 range right now. But I do like to see these offerings. I check every offering every day to see if there's anything that interests me. Baidu has priced its public offering. Now, would you buy debt in a Chinese company right now? I wouldn't buy the stock in a Chinese company, let alone the debt. You know, this heavy-handed regulation thing, it has, I cannot believe, as I look at the charts of these Chinese stocks, Baidu, Tencent, Alibaba, JD.com, you can go on and on and on, their school stocks, they have been utterly pummeled. Cause of it? Heavy regulations by the Chinese government, lack of confidence by investors. This is Bill Gunner. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Taper Tantrum Show. Taper Tantrum Show. The market is throwing a tantrum. The tantrum has increased now. The Dow down 218. We're all over the place, swinging around. The S&P's down 16, and the Nasdaq's down about 57 right now. It'll settle down. It's just, you know, the day after the Fed minutes. And they found a few minutes they didn't like. Well, let's go with our featured stock of the day. There's a few companies reporting earnings first that I want to talk about real quickly. A couple of note here that I would like to say something. Estee Lauder beats by 28 cents. That's not currently a best stock now. Kohl's beats by $1.22. I'm not a real fan of bricks and mortar retail at all. These big ones like Kohl's, it's not a best stock now. Macy's beats by $1.11. Now, it's good that they're beating their earnings estimates. I got nothing against that because that's going to flow into the overall earnings of the S&P 500. Now, the one I do want to mention, Robinhood. Personally, I wouldn't touch that stock with the 10-foot pole. They're going after, I've talked about this before, it's got a $39 billion valuation. They have nothing but competition in the discount brokerage industry. They've got a niche with a certain class of investors, the meme people, the meme investors, the Dogecoin investors, those kind of investors. The stock has been as high as 85 since going public. Today it's 45. It's down 9% after their earnings report. They're not going to have any earnings this year. They're losing a lot of money. They're hoping for earnings by next year, and the stock not reacting well to that report here this morning. In fact, Robinhood also, they attributed much of its top-line revenue growth to Dogecoin. Okay, is that sustainable? I don't think so. You know, I'm not going to be buying Hood. I'm not getting in the Hood. I'm not buying Robinhood stock. But it does have kind of a, you know, a little sexy name. It's been in the news a lot recently. It went public. The CEO made a little name for himself. It's not my cup of tea. Okay, our featured stock of the day is a proven winner. I like proven winners. I do. I like proven winners that have produced year after year, year after year. NVIDIA. How can you not like NVIDIA? NVIDIA, which dominates several markets with their chips. NVIDIA is now almost a $500 billion company. $500 billion. It pays a 0.3% dividend yield. 0.3% dividend yield. It's headquartered in Santa Clara. And that's the heart of the Silicon Valley. NVIDIA reported earnings yesterday. They beat by 2 cents. They beat on revenue. They had record gaming revenues of $3 billion. They had record data center revenues. That's another big area that NVIDIA is involved in, data centers, which are big, big, big business. Have you ever heard of Amazon Web Service, AWS, where a lot of these data centers are? NVIDIA makes a lot of the chips for those data centers. They give their outlook. They guided higher. They posted record revenues, and they boosted their operating income by 275%. Now, let's take a look at the performance of the stock over the years. You know, I would just say that from a performance point of view, this is one of the top 10 stocks in the market today. Over the last 10 years, NVIDIA capital appreciation, okay, stock price appreciation average per year over the last 10 years, 51.8%. The market's averaged 14.2%. Over the last 5 years, NVIDIA's delivered 68% per year. The market 15%. This is all vital information coming from the beststocksnowapp.com. Over the last 3 years, NVIDIA's delivered 58% per year, market 15%. And over the last 12 months, NVIDIA's up 55%, market's up 30%. Its performance grade, when I combine, I have a grade that combines the short-term performance, the intermediate-term performance, and the long-term performance, it gets an A+. I'd have to look to see if there's a performance grade or score better than NVIDIA, NVDA. The grade is A+. That comes from a number that is a ranking. I can look at that. I won't do it now, but maybe in the future, to see if there's any stock that has a higher performance grade over the intermediate, short, and long term than NVDA. Now you say, well, Bill, valuation's the other half of your equation. NVIDIA doesn't come cheap. There's no question about that. But it's expected to grow by 31% per year. You know, you can buy a company that's growing by 1% or 2% per year if you want. You can buy a company that is growing by 15% to 30% per year. You're going to pay a bigger multiple for the 15%, 30%. But even at that, the PEG ratio on NVIDIA is not that bad. It's 1.42. So between its valuation and its performance, NVIDIA is currently ranked overall at 128 out of 5,850. It was ranked number 62 on Monday. It was ranked 26 2 months ago, and a year ago it was ranked number 20. It's one of the stocks we own in our premier growth portfolio. All right. Well, I will be working on the newsletter tomorrow. That's about a 12-hour project. I make sure I've covered all the bases for you, the individual investor or my clients or people that are considering being clients of Gunderson and team. And that newsletter will go out Saturday morning. If you want two free issues, I send out the full Monty newsletter for 2 weeks, and then I give you another 2 weeks of our Premier Growth newsletter. I throw in a Ginsu knife, too, if you ask. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to get the free trial of the newsletter, which introduces, this is our introduction to from us to you. And, of course, if you'd like to talk to one of the members of our team, they all know the Gunderson story pretty well and can give you take a look at your current situation and whatnot and meet with you. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.